Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new special edition of the Sam Bissell Podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now it is time for the Best Picture Breakdown, in which each weekday leading up to the 96th Annual Academy Awards, I will be breaking down each of the 10 films nominated for Best Picture this season, giving my thoughts on each of the films, what they were nominated for, and their chances on taking home the biggest prize of the evening. And the second film on the list that I'm going to be talking about is the highest grossing film of 2023, and that would be Barbie. When my heart
breaks. Some things have been happening that might be related. When my world shakes. Cold shower. Ooh. Falling off my roof. Ah! And my heels are on the ground. To do.
You have to go to the real world.
You can go back to your regular life, or you can know the truth about the universe. The choice is now yours.
The first one, the high heel.
You have to want to know, okay? Do it again.
Now, Barbie was directed and co-written by Academy Award nominee Greta Gerwig and stars in a list ensemble that includes the likes of Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, America Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, Will Ferrell, Ariana Greenblatt, Dua Lipa, Kate McKinnon, as I said before. I mean, I'm listing off names and repeating some of the same names just because of how large this cast is. It is absolutely incredible. Kingsley Benadire, Michael Cera, the list just can keep going on and on and on for who is in this movie. The story and premise for Barbie is that it follows Barbie and Ken on a journey of self-discovery through both Barbie Land and the real world following an existential crisis. And again, like I said at the top of this podcast, this is the highest grossing film of 2023, which will break down the box office extents of what this film was able to do last year in just a little bit. But in just my initial thoughts when I saw this film, when I went to go see it in theaters, it was during the whole Barbenheimer craze of both Barbie and Oppenheimer, and in the double feature that my friends and I did, we went to go see Barbie first, and I was really excited about this movie. This is a film that really got me more and more intrigued, especially once you got the likes of both Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, who is also the other writer in the script for this film. And having prestigious A-list talent like that behind the scenes working on this film is really kind of remarkable, and it just got me curious of what their message for this film is. What are they trying to tell in this story? And I heard the great buzz going into the film, was really excited about it. And this is a film that, while it didn't end up on my top 10 films of the year or even my honorable mentions, it's still a film that I really enjoyed and had a lot of fun with and was entertained. And I think it was an absolute joy in storytelling. And I think it was a marvel in filmmaking, what Greta Gerwig was able to do as a director, especially in both the visual and literal sense of what she was trying to achieve with this movie. And I think, again, even though that maybe I resonated to it not as much as maybe other people, and especially women definitely resonated with this film. And I think it does have that kind of powerful message that empowers people into being who they want to be and not having to fit into a box or be a stereotype. You can be who you want to be. And I think what the script and the visuals are able to do is bring Barbie and the Barbie world to the big screen for live action and the first time, for the very, very first time. And it was an absolutely incredible achievement in every stretch of the word. And some of these films that I'm doing for the Best Picture Breakdown, I do try to watch them multiple times when they come out online and on VOD and in streaming services. And I especially try to watch them again when I do this Best Picture Breakdown. And watching it again, I really saw more of the themes and what the messaging was, what that Greta and Noah were trying to do with this film, a lot more on repeat viewings. And I think, again, it's about who you want to be, what type of person you want to be. And even though you're a doll, you can be a human and you can have emotions and you can be your own personality. You don't have to fit and be perfect in everything. And I think that's the encapsulation of this film. So what everyone was able to achieve on this film was absolutely incredible. And if you look at the history of the making of this movie, not even just the production of it and what Greta, Noah, and Margot and all of them were able to do, and also shout out to Margot Robbie as well, not just as an actress, who she did an incredible job, and Ryan Gosling was standout. He was incredible in this movie. But I think the biggest achievement for Margot in this film was being a producer, and she was really the one steering this ship. When you hear a lot of the interviews behind the scenes of really the making of this film and what it became to be, she was kind of the captain of this ship along with her production company and Lucky Chaps. And when you really kind of read about what this film went through before Margot and Greta were ever attached to it, it went through production hell. I mean, I remember hearing about the castings for this movie and always questioning, oh, this is going to be a very kind of poppy, ridiculous kind of comedy around the world of Barbie. I mean, at one point you had Anne Hathaway cast in the lead role. Amy Schumer was casted at one point. And so for me, going from Amy Schumer, I think is a good comedian, to Margot Robbie, it was a very big jump in the kind of talent that you were going for in this film. And again, that was another layer that intrigued me with this movie. Then, of course, the big one, like I said before, was getting Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach onto this film to write it, and then Margot convincing Greta to direct this film. And I just think she did an absolutely incredible job. And for Greta Gerwig, this is the biggest film that she's ever done, both I think in terms of just scale and big budget making, and the fact that the budget was around $100 or so million, more than both of her previous directoring efforts combined, both being Lady Bird, which was her directorial debut, and Little Women. And both of those films got her nominated for multiple Oscars. For Lady Bird, she was nominated for both Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. And for Little Women, she was snubbed for Best Director, but she was nominated for Adapted Screenplay for that movie. But either way, those films are small potatoes compared to what she was taking on with Barbie. And now with the success of it, she's a household name, and she's a director that everybody wants to work with moving forward. And so I'm really happy for her and where her career is going to really take off and becoming that big time director that I know that she wants to be and that she's capable of being. And she showcase that in the making of this movie. When you look at some of the locations that they shot, and they shot at the Warner Brothers Studios in Leavitt, England, where they kind of built all the Barbie Land sets, which were immaculate and amazing to me, were really the production design of this film is what really stood out for me overall when looking at this film. And the thing that I really gravitated towards is seeing all the amazing styles and techniques that Barbie Land had within it. It also shot on location at places like Venice Beach and the skate park, where you see Barbie and Ken and Margot and Ryan in that kind of neon plaid and on the roller skates. They actually shot those on Venice Beach, and there were a lot of popular photos that were circulating online of them roller skating throughout there, so you know that those were shot on location. And the other big thing about this film before going into the box office, and what led to, I think, that big box office success for this film, minus just the kind of marketing of the Barbenheimer phenomenon, was the actual marketing campaign that both Warner Brothers put together for this film. And it started right off the bat with those kind of singular individual character posters of all the of really everybody in the ensemble saying, oh, this is a Barbie, this is a Ken, this is a human. And everyone was all of a sudden kind of superimposing themselves or other people and creating little kind of wordings that they could do for those posters. And it really kind of exploded, and he knew from there that this film was going to do something impressive. And I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams thought that this film would do what it did at the box office. But the marketing campaign for this one was memorable. It was wildly successful, and I think it's one that I think a lot of promoters and advertisers and marketing campaigns and other studios are going to be looking at when trying to rile up anticipation and enthusiasm for this movie. But the marketing campaign equivalated to what I think was in a very, very impressive box office run for this film. So when you break down the box office for this movie, domestically it did $636 million here in the United States, and then worldwide it did $1.4 billion in the box office. And with that, it broke a multitude of records that are going to be hopefully broken in years down the line, and some that might take a very long time to break down, like Barbie did in the predecessors for these records that held them for a decade plus or so before they were broken by Barbie. So just going through the list, Barbie became the highest grossing live action comedy film of all time, smashing both the domestic record formerly held by the film Home Alone and the worldwide record, which was previously held by the sequel to the smash hit in 2009, The Hangover, and the 2011 sequel, The Hangover Part 2. In terms of the solo people and the individuals, this is Greta Gerwig's highest grossing film of all time, taking over the predecessor for Little Women in 2019. It is also, in terms of individual records being broken as well, in terms of landmark records being broken, it is the first film by a solo female director to hit $1 billion at the box office. It is the fastest Warner Brothers film to reach $1 billion, beating Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 back in 2011. And it is also Warner Brothers' highest grossing film not adjusted for inflation. So in terms of the records, those are only just a few of the landmark records that Barbie broke along the way to box office glory. Now, in terms of the nominations and what this film is nominated for at this year's Academy Awards, it is nominated for 8 overall awards at this year's Oscars. It is nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Ryan Gosling as Ken, Best Supporting Actress for America Ferrera, especially in that great, great monologue that she gives towards the third act of the film. It is also nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay for both Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. It's also nominated for a couple of Below the Line records and catalogs as well. Nominated for Best Costume Design, Best Production Design, and nominated twice for Best Original Song, the first one being I'm Just Ken, which was a huge hit when it came out when the film was released back in July, and also the Billie Eilish Phineas song What I Was Made For. And those are kind of the big overall nominations that Barbie was nominated for, all 8 of them. The major snubs: when nomination morning came up, this was of course one of the main talking points when the nominations were revealed, and of course it went to Barbie, and it was the major snubs for both Greta Gerwig and Best Director and Margot Robbie for Best Actress. And both of them, I had an idea that they would probably not be nominated, not because I didn't think they deserved it, but again, when you break down the 5 slots, I just think that probably both Greta Gerwig and Margot are probably 6 or 7 in those slots, and it just the categories are so competitive that it was going to be it was always going to be tough to take somebody out, put somebody in. And I think for both of them, I think for Greta Gerwig, I think I would have liked to see her get Best Director, because I do think visually this film falls on the visual sense of where she wants to go with the story and where she wants to go with the visuals of this film and directing it and the pacing of it. I would have liked to see Greta Gerwig get in. Was I surprised that she didn't? No, but I do think if one or the other was more deserving, I do think Greta Gerwig deserved the Best Director's slot more than I think Margot did for Best Actress. I do think that Margot did a great job in this performance, but when I think of her overall career and thinking about the standout roles that she's in, I do think she was actually snubbed more so for Babylon the year prior to that in 2022 than she was for Barbie. But I think her biggest achievement was being nominated for Best Picture as one of the producers, because again, like I said before, I think getting this film made and knowing who would be the right people to steer the ship is a bigger testament and a bigger accomplishment than what she was able to do on the screen. So I think that she got the right recognition for this film, and that was as a producer and not an actress this time. Do I think that she's an Oscar quality actress? Of course, she got nominated for I, Tonya years ago, but I just don't think for this film it would have probably gotten nominated. And I'm hoping that moving forward for other films that she's in, which again, she's a quality, talented level actress like that, she will get nominated again in the future. She'll be on the stage again, but I am very excited to see her get nominated for Best Producer for Best Picture. And so I'm really excited to see where she can go with that nomination. And I'm excited to see what she's going to do as a producer moving forward in the years to come with her Lackey Chap Productions, with her husband and other partners that are in that endeavor with her. When we talk about potential wins for Oscar night, I don't have it as a front runner for any of these 8 categories that it's in. The only one that I would have it in that it's probably going to run away with is Best Original Song, which I think it will win for What I Was Made For, which will make Billie Eilish and Phineas 2-time Oscar nominees in the span of 3 to 4 years, their previous first win being for No Time to Die a couple of years ago for the final Daniel Craig film and as James Bond. And so I think that's the only true win for this film. film. The other ones are very much toss-ups for me. I think the films that it could play, or the categories rather, it can play spoiler in is Best Adapted Screenplay, where I think it's between that and American Fiction, and also in Best Production Design, where it could lose to, I think, the current frontrunner right now in Poor Things with Emma Stone and directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, which will be talked about at length in another installment of the Best Picture breakdown. But those are the potential upsets or categories that I could see winning. The one that I would say it's an absolute front runner and probably a lock is for Best Original Song for Not I'm Just Ken, which I'm very excited to see it hopefully be performed by Ryan Gosling, maybe at the Academy Awards. I think that would be awesome to see, but I do think it is going to win for What I Was Made For, again, making Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell two-time Oscar, not nominees, but two-time Oscar winners already on their mantle, and they're still young and making successful music, so the sky's the limit for them, and they're going to have a lot more hardware on the mantle that is already there with all the Grammys and, of course, their previous Oscar win that they have as well. So for Barbie, I think it's going to be an interesting night. It could either come away with one win. I think it could come away with three wins. Maybe it comes away with a couple more that surprises us. But I do think that these three are the ones that it could win. And I think it's going to be a big talking point for the night because it was the highest grossing film of last year. So a lot of people are going to be wondering, can this film go over the top? Can it go the distance? Can it win the big award of the night in Best Picture? Could it win Best Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress for America Ferrera? Could Greta Gerwig get an Oscar win for Best Adapted Screenplay? All these things are going to be big talking points going into Oscar night. I think it'll win some. I don't think it'll win others. And I think it'll be an up and down night for both Warner Brothers and for Barbie come March 10th. But with that down and out of the way, that will do it for this edition of the Best Picture Breakdown. Come back tomorrow for my next breakdown, which will be for a film that was in my top 10 films of 2023. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about that film coming up tomorrow. But thank you again for tuning in to this Best Picture Breakdown of Barbie. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in on to the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source of what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, give you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Attic Radio, Fretzelmania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at Real Ambiguous. And if you want to check out Candy Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Bassell Samuel. It's BUSSELLSAMUEL. And also on Facebook at Sam Bassell. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this Best Picture Breakdown. I hope to see you back here tomorrow. And until then, keep on screening.